Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 24th of March, 2014. The podcast is going home with you tonight. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Jacob Morris. Jacob, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be back.
First off, a quick announcement. This podcast has been on its own server at podcast.bogosity.tv for, a while now. We moved there from Podbean. So just a warning, next week those old Podbean links are going to be going away forever. So if you've got any of those old links lying around, make sure you update them to point to the new server at podcast.bogosity.tv. Okay, so we've got some big news that's happened these past couple of weeks, and among the biggest is that Newsweek claims they know who the creator of Bitcoin is. For years, he's only been known by his online moniker, Satoshi Nakamoto, but according to Newsweek, he's a guy named Satoshi Nakamoto.
Really? What a coincidence.
That's what they say.
That's so obvious. Why didn't I think of that?
But the thing that's interesting is I'm wondering what initially pointed them in their direction.
Besides the name.
And it doesn't seem to be anything other than his name, just the fact that he happens to be named Satoshi Nakamoto. Pretty much all the evidence for it is circumstantial, and not even that circumstantial. I mean, he was an engineer. He was good with math and computers. He had this really secret career because he worked for the government and had all these classified top secret clearances and positions in the government. And he had health problems that started about the time the Bitcoin founder disappeared from the development. And, yeah, it seems like that's about it.
Well, how many Satoshi Nakamotos can there be?
Well, actually, I looked it up. Satoshi isn't that popular a name anymore, but a few decades ago, it was one of the top 300 names in the world. And Nakamoto is apparently a very common Japanese name. And there are several Satoshi Nakamotos currently living in the U.S. And this guy hasn't even gone by Satoshi Nakamoto since, I think the 60s or something like that. He's going by Dorian Nakamoto.
That sounds fishy.
Well, and also, this guy is 64 years old, and people weren't thinking of the Bitcoin founder as being that old. So, they never thought he was a young guy. He's apparently a very old-school programmer, but not that old-school. And would the creator of Bitcoin use his real name when he set it all up?
Maybe?
No? They had no way of knowing at the time it was gonna blow up and become this popular thing. But on the other hand, everything else he did at the time was so shrouded in secrecy, even when they were first developing it, even before they had any clue that Bitcoin was really gonna take off, to the point where he wouldn't even communicate by phone with the developers, and he was doing everything he could to keep his identity a secret, so why would he do all that, but then all of a sudden use his real name?
So, no.
And also, he doesn't live like a guy who has $400 million in bitcoins. He's kind of struggling to get by, so. But what they say is the really damning quote, "I am no longer involved in that, and I cannot discuss it. It's been turned over to other people. They are in charge of it now. I no longer have any connection." But Nakamoto later said that he was talking about his previous work as a military contractor, and since then he's completely denied all connection with Bitcoin.
Something new.
And after it came out, the Bitcoin founder posted his first message in something 5 years, and he just posted, "I am not Dorian Nakamoto."
At least we got that cleared up.
Well, that's what we'd expect him to say. But, there are lots of people that fit this same profile. So really, it comes down to how likely would it be that the Bitcoin founder is going to use his real name? And according to Bitcoin's chief scientist, Gavin Andreessen, quote, "Back then, it was not clear that creating Bitcoin might be a legal thing to do. He went to very great lengths to protect his anonymity." So the probability he'd use his real name is very low. So actually, the fact that his name is Dorian Satoshi Nakamoto is evidence against him being the Bitcoin founder. But every so often, someone comes around with, they figured out who the real Satoshi Nakamoto is, and there have been all sorts of names like Michael Clear, Neil King, Vladimir Oxen, Charles Bry. They've all denied it, of course. The one I think is most interesting is Nick Szabo. And there was a writing analysis done by Sky Gray, which found that there was a 0.1% chance of someone matching the writing style of the Bitcoin founder, Satoshi Nakamoto, and Nick Szabo matches that to that probability. And so doing a bit more research on it, this guy worked on the BitGold project, which was a cryptocurrency similar to what Bitcoin became. BitGold stopped abruptly when Bitcoin began. Satoshi used Szabo's work without citing it, even though he cited pretty much everyone else. Szabo basically had no reaction to all the Bitcoin news, even though it's what he was working on for a decade, and he deliberately post-dated some BitGold articles to just before Bitcoin was announced. So, still circumstantial, but it seems like a much better case for him than Dorian Nakamoto.
Are you sure he's an Al Gore?
He invented everything, I guess.
Is this a plan to get Man Bear Pig? Excelsior.
But really, does it matter? I mean, he doesn't really have anything to do. It's not like, you know, this is the Fed chairman we're talking about. At this point, whoever Satoshi Nakamoto is, he doesn't really have any exalted place in the Bitcoin network or anything. He's apparently not even doing anything with the developers anymore. He's just a guy with an address with like $400 million of Bitcoin in it, but that's it.
All that's important is that we catch Man Bear Pig.
Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your Bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers, and Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now.
So we've talked about ad blocking before several times on the podcast. We've talked about why it's good and why it's bad. And we talked about people trying other ways of monetizing sites than running ads. Well, this time, we've got some people who weren't all that honest about how they went about it. There were two German free mail providers who tried to manipulate Firefox and Chrome users into removing Adblock and related software. And what they did was, you know how you have that little yellow bar that comes down from the top whenever the browser needs to alert you or something? They faked that, and it said in German, "The security of your computer is compromised by a Firefox add-on." And it had a button that said Restore Security. And that button took you to a website that looks just like Chrome's browser settings, and it lists Adblock and all these variants of Adblock as suspicious programs that are malware that you should get rid of.
I haven't gotten those yet.
And what's funny is there was another extension, GitSaven. They accused it of creating false security alerts. Well, gee, here they are doing a false security alert, trying to get you to uninstall ad blockers and, But this page is on a website owned by 1&1 Mail and Media. That's a part of the United Internet Company in Germany, and it owns the two free mail sites running the scam.
Those Germans.
Yeah.
Always up to something.
Gotta keep an eye on them. Now, you'd think this would be like a big scandal and all sorts of denials, and no, they haven't denied it at all. They've actually defended it. Since the story broke, they posted the following, quote, "We see the warning as a contribution towards more security on the internet, because especially software on users' devices can be a gateway for attackers. Not all users are aware of the kind of add-ons they have installed and of the risks in changing a website's content. Okay, so because some browser add-ons can be malware, you're justified in making people think that Adblock is too.
Yeah, this probably is this video I saw in school where a cop pretended to be an old pervert for a girl to teach her a lesson about watch out for old perverts.
Yeah. So, brig bats to them. I mean, you know, if you got to monetize your site, I get it, and people run ad blocks and they're using the site without monetizing, but man, that's just going too far. So now we've got more bullying going on in the name of protecting and serving. Police in Arizona are rounding up sex workers and giving them a choice. Go to jail or go to a church-based recovery program.
I'm sorry, what's the First Amendment?
Yeah, and of course, taxpayers pick up the cost, you know, it's like $1,500 per person per day to Bethany Bible Church, and then there's this other group, Catholic Charities. I think that's the name of it because it's capitalized.
No, really. What's the First Amendment? I mean, really? Have we gone that far? Do we just forget how to read?
Yeah, so we've got police and students from Arizona State School of Social Work detained more than 350 people since 2011. And they're not officially arrested. They're just lawfully detained. But they're threatened with arrest and say, hey, if you want to get out of being arrested, you can go into this program that's run by these churches.
Well, how nice of them. Mm-hmm. It's like I have to go to chapel in order to graduate from my college. At least it's only once a week. Other colleges, it's like every day.
Yeah. Yeah, and all this happens before they even have a chance to meet with a lawyer.
Seriously, what's the Constitution?
Yeah, they're picked up, denied access to an attorney, and put into this program in order to rescue them from this life of prostitution.
The power of Jesus. He slaps her fucking on the head. You're healed.
Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Back up sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.pagosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.pagosity.tv and get LastPass now.
Alright, and now it's time to give a swirly to this week's biggest bogon emitter. So, Jacob, you have this week's for us?
Yeah, it's about a mother and her 9-year-old son say school officials won't let him bring a My Little Pony back to school.
My Little Pony bag.
Yeah.
So they've banned My Little Pony.
That's a Rainbow Dash bag.
Okay. Maybe if it was Twilight Sparkle, they would have allowed it.
No. That's the Fluttershy doll that I want.
So why are they banning My Little Pony bags?
Because he keeps getting beat up by bullies. The boy and his mother say he's getting shoved around because bullies think he's pick of our favorite toys for girls.
So what have they done to the bullies?
Scrolling. Didn't seem to be anything. Still scrolling. I'm scrolling up and down. Nothing.
No, they are saying it's a trigger for bullying.
Oh, that's like saying an outfit is a trigger for rape.
Yeah, or something like that.
They haven't seen the end of heavy metal.
But I mean, it's the same story when I was bullied. You know, they beat me up for some reason, and I'd be the one in trouble, and they'd get the one off scot-free because I must have done something to trigger it.
Well, you shouldn't have been a nerd.
Yeah. And this is in Buncombe County. This is just up the road from me. But, you know, My Little Pony has gotten a lot of adult male fans over the past few years.
Well, yeah, this generation of the show, that is.
Yeah, because it's a reboot. I remember when the original came out many, many years ago, and it was basically a dumb little cartoon designed to sell toys. But apparently this reboot there are some writers who are actually putting out some good stories on it.
Yeah, it's like a much better cartoon for selling toys. And like a much, much, much better.
Yeah, my kids watch stuff like SpongeBob, so I'm up on all that, but they don't watch My Little Pony, so I haven't had a chance to see any of it to know what it's like.
And I kind of got disinterested after the third season.
So what really is it that attracts people to it?
The animation, the writing, well, it's a lot of stuff.
But, I mean, here's the thing, you know, if people have lunchbox and bags for all sorts of other things, you know, like Justin Bieber or whatever, but yet he gets bullied because of this, and the school says, well, maybe you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, a little trigger thing.
So after all that, there's no way Buncombe County Schools could avoid being this week's biggest bogon emitter. Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been a satisfied GoDaddy customer for over 10 years now. Their prices are great, and their 24/7 support is second to none. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or many other services, and get 35% off by typing in the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet service. Get your own .com with a personalized email address or establish your online business in a snap, all for 35% off. Or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for special offers on GoDaddy products. Get great savings on quality internet services. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. And now it's time to stick tinfoil onto the heads of this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week it goes to a group of liberal protesters who were demonstrating against the actions of David H. Koch of Koch Brothers fame. And what was Koch's horrible action? He donated $100 million to a hospital for a new wing.
And?
The horror. Yeah, this is one of those you have to double check to make sure it's not a parody. So the New York State Nurses Association, the NAACP New York State Congress, and SEIU Local 1199, among others, descended on this New York hospital, New York Presbyterian Hospital, because of the soon-to-be-built David H. Koch Center, which was paid for by his $100 million donation. And, of course, this will expand the hospital, and they'd be able to take on new patients and hire lots more nurses and other people and be able to do more, so I guess that's a bad thing, and they had to protest it.
They must be using it for something nefarious. Haven't you ever watched Captain Planet? Maybe they're trying to pollute the world with bandages.
Yeah, and apparently one of the big guys behind this was Ben Kallos, who was the local New York City Council representative, and he shouted all sorts of slogans that got tweeted. Here's one from at NY Nurses. Said, David Koch is against affordable health care. Why is his name on a hospital?
A politician lying? Perish the thought.
Yeah, but you see what they do there? I mean, if you're against... You know, you're not against Obamacare, you're not against government health care, you're not against taking money by force to pay for health care, you're against affordable health care.
Oh.
But if anything, expanding the hospital should make it more affordable? Because he just gave them $100 million to do that?
Well, it's not like they know economics. Or are they just doing, they're just being sleazy?
Here's another one from at Tatiana Vocal. Coke is against women's reproductive health, so why is his name on a hospital?
Because it's not an abortion clinic?
Yeah. Here's another one from Tatiana Vocal. We're New Yorkers, and the Cokes can go home. David Coke lives in New York, people. Yeah, but it says, cook out to kick out Coke out of New York.
They're reasonable people.
Yeah.
It's nice, civilized.
And apparently someone else at the protest shouted, if there ain't gonna be no justice, there ain't gonna be no peace. Yeah, these sound really like pleasant, nonviolent protesters standing up against tyranny or something. I don't know.
Kind of missing the target. Way over there.
Another one from at Michelle Green 70 says, Coke funds efforts to deny care to women by expanding a hospital and making it bigger.
How nefarious.
But check this out. Around the same time, the Washington Times reported that Bill Clinton last year accepted a $225,000 speaking fee from the Washington Hospital Center in 2012, the same year that hospital laid off 300 employees. And yet, Bill Clinton's a great guy, and David Koch, who gave them $100 million, is horrible and terrible.
Have you seen Bill Clinton playing the saxophone?
I didn't think he was that great.
Yeah, me neither.
So at least there was an SEIU affiliate who wasn't happy about that and said, quote, no disrespect to Bill Clinton, but that money could have gone a long way and put to better use. Notice he was sure to say, no disrespect to Bill Clinton, because he didn't do anything horrible like donating $100 million to a hospital.
Yeah. That's scumbag.
I mean, how do you protest something like this? What sense does that make?
They're conservatives. And we're good people.
Here's the thing, people. The Cokes are minor players in the political arena. I mean, collectively, they end up in, like, the top 100 campaign donors. But they're usually, like, around number 60 or 70 or something like that. That's why they have to bring in all these wacky conspiracy theories about having a secret underground network of funding organizations to funnel money to all of this.
Well, if Rachel Maddow says it's true, she's obviously a nut job.
And, of course, they ignore things like them donating millions of dollars to the ACLU.
Well, then I hate that place.
The ACLU is Coke-funded.
Yeah, what do they do?
Oh, they're for, like, Freedom and Liberty and all those other horrible Coke Brothers things.
Those bastards.
All those horrible Coke things. But isn't this what these people are supposed to be for? You know, people putting more money into the healthcare system so that they can expand and cover more people, and, you know.
Yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah. Yeah, it's we hate the Coke, so we have to think of an excuse to be against it.
Right.
So, not practicing what you preach, going completely against what you say you're for, that's bound to get you named this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Up this Always Look on the Bright Side of Life edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at Bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Jacob Morris for joining me.
See ya.
Until next time, here's a quote from Hans J. Morgenthau. The human mind, in its day-by-day operations, cannot bear to look the truth of politics straight in the face. It must disguise, distort, belittle, and embellish the truth. The more so, the more the individual is actively involved in the processes of politics. Thus, it is inevitable that a theory which tries to understand international politics as it actually is and as it ought to be in view of its intrinsic nature, rather than as people would like to see it, must overcome a psychological resistance that most other branches of learning need not face. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License.
Bogosity.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
Yeah, that fan is really loud.
This will die down in a minute. You ever watch heavy metal?
The movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I like the last part. It's like you can look as ridiculous as you want as long as you're badass.